Oh, bet.
Hey, check it out. New hat.
Just in time.
New hat alert to go with the shirt.
Yeah, I don't know if I showcased this one. I might have sent it to you guys, but I don't think I've put it on ever in an episode.
Mm, nice. Yeah, I'm tired, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, you pretty sounded tired. Like it. That first, what's up, man, just sounded.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a, like, school, since school started, it's been weeks, bro. This Friday night needed it bad. Needed it so bad.
I'm assuming,
and this Labor Day weekend, too.
I was going to say, I'm assuming you guys won based off what Jill said. But, yeah, tomorrow off is nice, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we'll still have practice, but I don't have to teach.
Yeah.
So, that's nice. Very nice. Hello and welcome back to Second and Two Podcast. I'm your host, TB. Got my co-host, producer extraordinaire. New haircut alert, maybe even. Jody! What's up, Joe?
What's good, man? No, it's funny that you said that because I was sitting here thinking, man, I haven't worn a hat in the last two and my head looks kind of weird, you know what I mean? And like my haircut, I think, is like 3 weeks old now, but the fact that I'm not wearing a hat compared to normal was kind of weird. I just got my truck back, actually, and I in the back seat is where I kept all my hats, so I gotta go grab them at some point, but they're still around.
I just gotta, I got a new one.
There it is. Michigan, y'all, who'd y'all play?
National champs. Started our title defense yesterday. Beat Fresno State. Fresno State,
yeah.
Kept it tough, which I thought they'd be a tough opponent, and they were. They kept it tough for a while. Michigan won 30-10, but it was, at one point, it was 16-10. So,
dang.
So first but, time. But Michigan offensively is going to take a while to get to what it was last year, if ever. Honestly, it probably won't be what it was last year, if I'm just being honest, because brand new O-line, five new O-linemen, new quarterback.
New running back.
Pretty much.
At least not the starter running back, I should say.
Well, they got the Don back, right? They got Donovan Edwards back. So he's there. Colston Loveland's back. You know, and then you've got multiple receivers, Samaje Morgan back, you know, guys like that. So they're not completely new on offense, but in the critical positions, the entire O-line and the quarterback, they are. So it's going to take a while. On defense, they're still electric. I would argue that Michigan has three of the best players at their position in all of college football, and that is Will Johnson at corner, who had a pick six, like a 90-yard pick six yesterday.
Okay.
Colston Loveland at tight end, who had a touchdown and was Michigan's leading receiver by far. And Mason Graham, who performed like he normally does in the run game, just a run stuffer. And then can have you add a little pass rush too at a defensive tackle. So I think they've got three of the best players in the country at those positions.
Okay. That's nice. What did our guy at tight end do? How many would he put up, if you know?
Don't remember. I think it was like six catches for 80-something yards and a touchdown. I think it was something like that.
Okay.
Now, the big thing, though, you know who they got next week?
Texas? Oh, yep. That's in Michigan.
Yep, Michigan, Texas. So, Mitch, if and when you listen to this, we're not friends this week. Sorry, man. Can't do it. Next week, we're all good, but after Saturday. But for this week, not friends.
I will have to. So I have the rest of my decor from my background from the old place here with me, right here, just on my side. I haven't put it up. As you can see, I'm hanging on to the string by an old sticky right there.
Yeah, so, I see that.
So depending on if they win or not next week, maybe it'll be up. Who knows?
Okay. All right. All right. So we just finished week one of college football. We're on the horizon of week one of NFL football. Your boy just finished week one of high school football.
Yeah, how'd your game go?
In the state of Texas. Really, really well. We played a tough Seagraves team who beat us last year 32-12.
Okay.
And they had a lot of like really talented seniors. So kind of a at least in the, at the skill position, they're kind of a different team this year. Their offensive line was a lot of the same guys, and they were still really good up front. They're a wishbone team, so it's just tough. You're gonna have to make a tackle on 98% of the plays because they never put the ball in the ever. They don't throw incompletions, yeah. So you got to tackle them every play. You know, they just make you play in the dirt all game long. I mean, we had to go to their place, you know, to do it. Mm. A little lightning when we first got there. Weren't sure if we were going to be able to play on time. Oh, all man. That. All good. Storm never came through. We were, you know, after it did come through when we first got there, passed. We were good. Warm ups, play, all good.
You had to wait like 30 minutes before there's like no strike, right?
Yeah, within 10 miles. Yeah. So we had a strike within 10 miles, about hour and a half to game time. But by an hour to game time, we're clear and free and able to warm up and get rolling. So it didn't affect us too much. But yeah, we got a shutout on defense, caused four turnovers.
Oh yeah.
We were really good on third down. Didn't give up a whole lot of explosive plays. A lot of the goals that we set for ourselves, we met defensively. And
let's go.
You can probably tell by my voice, I was yelling a lot. I was hyped up. Kids made me proud. But they just executed exactly what we said we wanted to do, and they did it to the best of their ability. They were disciplined. You have to be disciplined against a wishbone team. You know what I mean? You want to start looking at stuff that you don't need to see. You want to start doing someone else's job. You want to start making plays that aren't yours to make, and that's when they hit you. And they did. They did get us a couple times, but we never let them score. We always play tough in the red zone. We got two red zone stops when they did get there, and I was really proud of that because those are the things that we emphasize. You know, we talk about pursuit to the football. Hey, even if there's a big play, tackle it and let's get a stop in the red zone. You know what I mean? Like, always give yourself a shot to get the stop. Just keep tackling them and eventually you get off the field. So we did that even when they did hit two big plays. You know, they had two pretty big plays for, you know, the most of the night. That was pretty much all they had. And those were the two plays that got them in the red zone. And on both times we got the stop. So, I was really proud of our kids, and then on offense, did our thing. A little slow to start, and that's usually what happens. You know, you've got to work out the kinks on offense early in the season. But we ended up scoring 28 points, so final was 28-0. And we got a lot of things working, you know.
Yeah.
Head coach called a good game on offense, kept us rolling. And I'm excited to see what we can be. We got to go on another road trip next week, and we're going far. They're going like 3.5 hours, 4 hours.
Ooh.
So it's a far trip, not a fun one, but it only matters if we get the win, you know?
Yeah. I was gonna say, in terms of the kids though, they probably love that. They get to get out of school like an hour or two in. You're like, all right, time to hit the road, you know what I mean?
So this is the thing, is we're a 4-day school week now.
Oh,
we go to school Monday through Thursday. We have Fridays off. Every Friday's off. It's a 3-day weekend.
That's
every weekend.
Sick.
Yeah.
How do you guys get that?
In Texas, it's a thing. A lot of school districts are doing it. Some school districts take Monday off. Some take Friday off and add it to the weekend. The thing is, it makes your school days, because you still have a certain number of hours you have to be in school.
Yeah.
So school day runs from 7:55 to 4:30.
4:30. Yeah. I was going to say it's probably somewhere around 4. I mean, now, either for way, us, no, that's clutch.
For us, our 7th and 8th period are athletic periods, so we're basically in practice. So, like, we get done by about
probably
6:15 every day. Oh, I just mean with everything. In terms of teaching, I'm done by about 2. And then with everything, like, once we do junior high athletics and then high school football practice and all that, we're done about 6:15 every day, and then, you know, you hang out in the coach's office, talk about practice, watch film, and then roll it. But it's long days because every day we're either in the weight room or we have junior high football practice before school at 6:30. So really our days are like 6:30 to 6:30, you know what I mean? Like as coaches. Yeah. So
yeah, 12 hours.
They're long days, man. That's why by the time I get to Friday, I'm just like, Thank you. Like I made it. I made it. So this is all worth it. Here we go.
That's dope. But speaking of the defense, you know, putting in the work, getting the shutout, of course, as you mentioned, that's what we're taking a look at today for the NFL. We talked about it last week at the end. We're going to be ranking the defenses. Now, before we even start, you know what I mean? I got to like 7 and was like, where do I go from here? So I gave you a top 10, but like once you get to 7, it's probably like, I don't know what Joe's talking about right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. So I'll say this about, I think defenses, there's a lot of metrics you look at. To me, I'm looking at points. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing.
Like how many they allow, right?
How many points are you allowing? Like if opponent's point per game is the most important stat. Yes, yards per game matters, takeaways matters, all those other things matter, sacks, all that. But truthfully, how many points are you allowing? That's really mm-hmm. telling me how good your defense is. So that's how I ranked them in terms of what I think you're going to see this year is really more a points per game stat, opponent's points per game stat. So, and defenses are generally harder to rank than offenses because offensive players are just generally more visible. Mm-hmm. Right? They're more
true.
Fantasy football, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Everybody knows offensive players.
Yeah.
Nobody knows defense players, so it's just a lot harder. And defensive systems and defensive coordinators.
I feel like those move like crazy, too.
It's just a lot harder to rank defense.
Like, they get a pay bump somewhere else. Maybe they become a head coach. Like, a bunch of moving parts. Or even, you know, maybe the opposite. They get fired because, you know, they had a couple bad years at whatever place they were in, and then now they're somewhere else.
Yeah. All right, so let's start with number one. We'll go bar for bar again here, Jody.
All right, sounds good.
My number one, I'm going Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh last year was 8th in points per game allowed, 19.7. You look up front, they've got TJ Watt, healthy Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton. Like, nasty business up there, okay? Then you look behind him. At their linebackers. You're like, ooh, added Patrick Queen like that. Right?
Okay.
They added Wilson in the draft from NC State. I really like that kid. He was my number one linebacker, and they got him in the 3rd round. And I think his versatility means he can pass rush. We talked about this in the draft podcast, but he can pass rush and he can be a true linebacker and he can do all kinds of stuff. And they've been raving about him in camp. All right. Okay. They already had a Landon Roberts there, who's a pretty good player as well. So I like their linebacking core. They've got playmakers there, just like they have playmakers up front. Then you look behind them, and you're like, oh, Minkah Fitzpatrick, arguably the best safety in the league, super versatile, can play in the nickel, can play safety, can play corner. You can blitz him. You can cover man-to-man with him. You can drop him in fire zones. You can do whatever you want with him, and he's a playmaker. And then on the outside, you know, you got Joey Porter Jr., who came onto the scene last year, looked pretty good. And he was locked down. So started looking at this defense, and I'm like, man, there's playmakers at every level. I don't know if anyone else has the amount of talent on defense that the Steelers have.
Yeah.
I really like this defense and what they're going to do. And then, of course, at the end of the day, the head coach is Mike Tomlin. And that dude, year in and year out, their defenses are always good under him. So I'm gonna say the Steelers are my number one defense this year.
I'm going to say quick shout out to your uncle because I'm sure he's stoked to hear that. You know what I mean? Like the boys top of the list. We're here.
Yeah. He knows. He's probably already juiced up and then he's going to hear me say that and he's like, he's excited. I know.
For me, I just took the Browns. I don't know. I think they finished, you know, one of the best defenses out there. Granted, you know, they couldn't really make it to the playoffs, but that's kind of the give and take if your offense can't score. And eventually, like you're just getting too tired, letting the other team end up scoring, you know what I mean? But Myles Garrett up in the front, hopefully Mason Rudolph ain't on the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, huh? But yeah, Myles Garrett, I don't know anywhere else, but I know they got a tough front court for sure. I if I'm being honest, I'm probably kind of base these off of where their projected points were for fantasy, somewhere in there
too. Okay. All right.
That's kind of where these numbers come from. But like, as we go down the list, we'll have the same, probably similar top five at least somewhere in the area, and then from there I'll waver off.
Yeah. Number two, I've got Dallas. It's pretty hard to upgrade a defensive coordinator when Dan Quinn walks out your door.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the better ones. But Mike Zimmer, that dude's really good. Like, whether he was the defense coordinator in Cincinnati or the head coach in Minnesota, his defenses are always tough to play against. He does a lot of different stuff. Okay. He lets his corners be dudes.
That's good for Diggs,
so
then,
you
huh?
talk about like Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs. Yeah, I love that for them. You know, you've got a movable piece like Micah Parsons who can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, I know now he's really a pass rusher, but he can do so many different things on top of that. And you put all that together with Zimmer, and I think Dallas, you know, I said last week that I thought they'd take a step back on offense. I think they're going to take a huge step forward on defense and be even better than they were under Dan Quinn. I think this defense is going to be really good, really tough to score on. They're going to cause a lot of takeaways because of what they're doing schematically and the playmakers they have. Yeah, I like this Cowboys defense. I see them finishing in this top five at least, if not where I've got them at number two.
Mm-hmm. At two, I took the Jets. Might be a little shout out to them from Hard Knocks last year, but I mean, Sauce Gardner out there, one of the best corners right now. We got our guy up front. I don't remember his name, but he Kyler Murray. We never met a talent like Kyler Murray. I mean, that guy Rod. I can't right now, bro. Your laugh is making me laugh.
Hey, just not even my guy's name. Not Quinton Williams. Kyler Murray.
There you go. Quinton Williams.
Hey, it sounded just like him too. Kyler Murray.
Their homie me. Right, Jack something. Jack Campbell, is that his name? I don't know.
That was
shining on Hard Knocks. You know, I'm out my element, man. I don't know many of the dudes. I barely knew Sauce Gardner. He's probably one of the most famous on their defense right now in general. But Robert Saleh has had them boys be nice the past couple of years, even especially last year when they didn't have their quarterback rolling. They had Zach Wilson and another home and Mike White. Is that who they had?
Yeah,
switching out every so often. And they were still holding it down, just couldn't get enough offensive production. So I think they'll still be very good this year.
All right, so number three, I've got Baltimore. They were number one in points per game last year. I mean, you look across the board, Kyle Hamilton, dude. Marlon Humphrey, dude. You know,
the dude they got in the middle of the year.
Roquan Smith.
There you go.
Dude, you know what I'm saying? They've got playmakers similar to Pittsburgh and Dallas. They've got playmakers on every level of their defense. Now, there were some losses, right? You did lose Patrick Queen, but our guy.
Right?
Yes, I'll get there. I wanted to shout out our guy, though, because 2 years ago, I told you Trent Simpson was the best linebacker in the draft. Okay. They lost Patrick Queen. But I think they let Patrick Queen walk because they had Trenton Simpson ready to roll after kind of a redshirt year. So I'm feeling good about that. So we'll see how he plays. They lost Jadeveon Clowney, who had like a career year up front in sacks. And they did lose their defense coordinator, Mike McDonald, to the Seattle Seahawks as their head coach. So some things changed, but I think they shuffled the deck. I think they pretty much run it back, and I think they're going to be still really good. Because they still got all those playmakers at all the levels of their defense. I'm very excited to see what their new defensive coordinator does. And if he can carry on the legacy that's been held there, you know, from Wink Martindale to Mike McDonald and so forth. So we'll see. We'll see what Baltimore does.
Yeah, three is where I took Dallas. I got the Cowboys right here. We you kind of touched on most of the moving parts, you know. Mm-hmm. I will say I just want to see how Diggs bounces back, and if, you know, the extra time, you know, from reviewing tape and whatnot, either it helps his performance or if it kind of hinders him being a little slow coming back from recovery.
Mm. At four, I took the Browns, so I was not far off of you. I've got Cleveland. Myles Garrett, that's where this defense starts and ends. Yeah. But once again, they've got some pretty good players, you know. I mean, Jock behind him at that linebacker spot, you know, and then you've got a ton of talent in the secondary as well. There's a lot to love about the Browns defense, but at the end of the day, it all works because you've got that one dude and he's a monster, Myles Garrett.
And, up front.
Yeah, and Jim Schwartz does a really good job there. And I think, once again, another, you know, one of the things that all these teams have in common, you know, and I know I said Baltimore, you know, new younger DC, so we'll see what he looks like. But for the most part, a lot of these teams have these proven coordinators up in the top with all that skill. So it's just a recipe for shutdown defense. And I think that's what you're getting in Cleveland as well. So that's why I have it four.
Gotcha. For me, this is where I took Pittsburgh. This is kind of more just like I didn't really know anyone there, but I know up front they're really good. And if TJ Watt's there healthy all year, they're too good. They're too dominant. You know what I mean? But without him, that's when everything starts to slip a little bit. So that's kind of why I have them a little bit lower than you. But yeah, they're still really good on defense year in, year out.
At five, I've got the Jets. I'm with you. Sauce Gardner, Quinn Williams, Kyler Murray. you know, as the head coach and, you know, their defense coordinator, who I remember I really liked on Hard Knocks, but I can't remember his name right now. But they do a good job, I think. You know, that's been the one constant in Robert Saleh's tenure as the Jets head coach is that defense has been really good. Mm-hmm. And once again, they've got talent all through their defense. They've got some really good players. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of their Mike linebacker either. Right now I'm blanking on
names. I think that's who I was trying to name.
Struggling.
When I was, and I ended up with Jack Campbell, which I know is not the answer.
Let's just help ourselves out right now. Oh, Mosley. CJ Mosley. That's who I'm thinking of. My bad. Shout out CJ Mosley for being a dude, and it's just on me for not remembering his name off the top of my head. But yeah, they've got playmakers everywhere on their defense too, and they may be better this year than I'm thinking because they actually have a real quarterback and not everything is on them to be great week in and week out. So all five of these defenses, playmakers at every level, coordinators who are going to get the job done. I love the Jets defense.
Yeah, okay. The guy I was thinking of was Will McDonald, the fourth. That's who I had in mind.
Pass rusher from Iowa State.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who everyone loved on Hard Knocks last year because he's kind of weird, but he's a dude.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, he was balling. I got quick story, real quick. So, one of my coworkers, he's not a big football guy. He like doesn't really know much about the sport. And since we're on the Jets, it kind of ties in. He put on like highlights of like top 100 plays of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like one of the top ones was our guy Gibson returning that punt return for the touchdown first game or first Sunday night game. And so I kind of had to give him the backstory about that. That was like pretty cool punt return, but more so that the guy made the team like last Hard Knocks, whatnot.
Yeah. So
it was just crazy seeing all the plays from last year. Like, whoa, that happened. That's wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, for real. At five, this is where I took the Ravens. I kind of knocked them because they lost their D coordinator. But they're like, it just goes back to when we were growing up. They're still really good on defense. You know, Ed Reed back then, our guy, Ray Lewis. They've always had names like that. And it's just been crazy to see them be dominant on defense year in and year out.
So we have the same top five. You just shuffle the order, basically.
Yeah.
At six, that's where I go Kansas City. Steve Spagnuolo, what a performance in the Super Bowl in the critical moments. They lose LeJarius Sneed, which
didn't they lose Gay too?
Yes. And that does worry me. They lost some guys, but Karlaftis and Chris Jones and Trent McDuffie on the back end. Like, I still really love this defense. They're still the key pieces are still in place. I'll have to find a way to replace the Jerry Sneed, but I think Spags we trust. You know, I expect him to figure it out, and they're still going to be really good. So Kansas City at 6.
Here I took the Niners. I kind of am worried about them. I worry about them because I know they had some injuries. They had their safety, man, at Tufunga. He got hurt last year. Yep. I think they lost a linebacker somewhere late in the year too. So I don't know how that bounce back for them will be. But I mean, they made it to the Super Bowl. That's got to be some sort of credit to how good their defense is. So I got them here at 6.
At 7, I've got Minnesota. Brian's clearly an impact on that defense last year. They may have a tough year given that, you know, the quarterback position is in flux.
Yeah.
Still a lot of good skill talent on offense. Kevin O'Connell's a good head coach. He's going to be a good play caller, you know, week in and week out. So we'll see what happens with their offense. But defensively, I think they have the requisite pieces that Brian Flores needs to wreck games for people at times, and he did last year. Last year, Minnesota made a big jump from what they had been. They were 12th in the league in scoring at 21.3 points per game. And they did a really good job, especially on the road. They held teams to under 20 points per game when they were on the road. So I think B-Flo does a great job, and yeah, I think that'll continue in Minnesota this year, and he'll probably have to up the ante a little bit to compensate for losing J.J. McCarthy and you know, having to rely on Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I feel you. We got the Texans here. We got Will Anderson, you know what I mean? And our guy, oh, man. Who's the coach? This is bad.
D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryan. There you go. Defensive mind up front, you know, leading the charge. And we've seen what they did last year. Granted, there's some credit to C.J. Stroud, but defensively, they performed. I'm going to assume they improve in year two for sure, keeping the mindset going with D'Amico. And I got them here at 7.
At 8. I have the San Francisco 49ers. So the Niners, you know, I looked at them and I thought, man, they were number 4 in scoring defense last year at 18.8 points per game. But they fire Steve Wilkes after the Super Bowl. He kind of becomes the scapegoat after they lose. I think they played well on defense for a majority of the game in the Super Bowl. That wasn't really their problem. You know, obviously at the end of the game, yeah, sure, tough to get stops against Patrick Mahomes, but who is getting those stops? And yes, Jordan Love did kind of tear him up, and Jared Goff did kind of tear him up in the playoffs. But I thought it was tough look to fire Steve Wilkes after that. And then they bring in an inexperienced defensive coordinator who's never called, you know, defensive plays before, and then Brandon Staley to help him. Right. And I think Brandon Staley is a brilliant defensive mind. He was obviously not a very good head coach, but brilliant defensive mind. Even so, you talked about Talanoa Hufanga, you know, may take him some time to get back at safety. Up front, they don't seem to have quite the depth that they had previously, but it's still, you know, defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa. You still got Fred Warner in the middle, still got Javarius Ward outside at corner. So once again, same thing I've talked about, playmakers at every level, just a little bit of injuries, a little bit of wear and tear. I mean, they've been at the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game now 2 years in a row. And I think they're a little bit of an older group, brand new defensive coordinator. So I think that's why they slip a little bit. I mean, I'm not taking them out of my top 10. They're 8. Yeah. But I think most people would have expected to see the Niners a little sooner than this, and that's why I had them at 8.
Yeah, right here I took the Packers. They got a nice young defense. Been on the up and up the last couple of years, I'd say. And I mean, I think their DBs is like their real talking point. And when you got time to let your guys up front work, you know, hold the to keep looking every which way, that's where you get the pressure up front, allow them to get sacks or make them throw the ball out of bounds, whatever. And I don't know, something about them just says Packers would be a little nice. You know what I mean?
Like it. At number nine, this is where I have Houston. DeMeco Ryans, what he was able to do in year one with that defense was awesome. Here we go, year two. You know, you add, obviously last year, Will Anderson, but then also in the offseason, they add Daniil Hunter and Aziz Alshire at linebacker, who are both guys that are going to be awesome in this scheme. You know, Jeff Okuda comes over. I really think that this defense could be really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
With what DeMeco Ryans wants to do and some of the guys he added in the offseason. Will Anderson on one edge and Daniil Hunter on the other is a scary thought for offenses. So, this defense is going to be really good. I'm excited for it. I have them too low, honestly. I might need to bump them the more about them.
Now they'll just make your expectation be like, man, I barely missed on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here, this is where I took the Chiefs. I kind of knocked them for losing a couple dudes to other teams. But, I mean, similar to what you said, Spagnuolo goes crazy when it's time to pack it in. And his dudes up front, Chris Jones alone, is just a monster. That dude makes the big play almost every time I watch a Chiefs game late night. You know what I mean? He's always the one there. But another quick moment about the top 50 plays or whatever. There was the one in the Super Bowl where they got the first down, fourth and one, and he was like, what's so special about this play? And so he like ran it back. I was like, oh, well, you see, it's overtime. It's fourth and one. They don't get this first down, they lose the game. And my dude ends up getting like 8 yards. So it's kind of a big play in the moment. But in terms of just watching plays, like, yeah, it doesn't look like anything special.
At 10. I've got the Saints, veteran defense. Once again, though, playmakers all over the place, right? Last year, they were sixth in points per game at 19.2. You look and they've got, you know, they're older is the thing. That's the scary part. But
yeah,
at corner, they're loaded. Kool-Aid McKinstry, they add, you know, and then you already had our guy from Ohio State, who's been locked down out there for years. And then up front, pass rush. I mean, their guy has been there forever. Who am I thinking of? Oh, my gosh. Cam Jordan has been there forever. And he's just consistently – he's like one of the more underrated pass rushers in the league because New Orleans hasn't really been in the – spotlight of the league as like a premier team since like 2020, 2021, but he still just puts together these great seasons. At linebacker, their guy is legit as well. DeMario Davis. So this defense, once again, fits my playmakers at every level deal. Veteran DC does a good job. So I like New Orleans to stay right around that top 10, even if I don't love their offense. I think their defense is going to be really good again. Mm-hmm. It always is.
Hey, do you think our guy Spencer Rattler has a chance to start at some point this year?
I think it's possible.
Yeah, we got to bring back Chase when that happens.
Yeah, because he had a good preseason, and Chase said he was hot garbage. So
yeah.
who you got at 10?
I took the Falcons right here. I don't know. This is probably a recency bias, but they've added some good pieces deep in the secondary.
Justin Simmons.
And so I like those. Yeah. Exactly. And they got someone else too. I forgot. But
they added a pass rusher from New England. Our guy in the red sleeves.
Yeah.
He can keep wearing his red sleeves in Atlanta.
This change of beat, that's comedy. No, yeah. So I don't know. Recency bias. And I think with the offense improving, this is just going to only elevate their game. They won't be as tired going on defense. So this is just like a lofty pick, but I kind of like them just because of the recent additions.
Okay. 11 through 32. We'll go through a little quicker. Jody does not have an 11 through 32. He went top 10 only, which I respect. He said, I know my limits. I know exactly what I know, and I can give you 10. And I said, cool. I got you on 11 through 32.
Yeah.
There we go. Number 11, Green Bay. Brought in a new defensive coordinator, replaced everyone's least favorite defense coordinator in the NFL, Joe Barry. Swore I saw criticism of him every weekend. That guy's probably tired right now because he just kept getting smoked every weekend. But they bring in Halfley from Boston College to be the DC, who's really respected as a DC at Ohio State for a long time before he took the Boston College head job. He's been in the NFL before, I believe, and then kind of was in college for a long time, not back to the NFL. Halfley, I think, will do a very good job with what he's the talent that he has up front and in the secondary, you know, Jair Alexander and their pass rusher out of Michigan, who got the bag, I believe, last year. So they're going to have some stuff that they can work with. And if Halfley is who I think he is, their defense should be much improved. And with that offense, Green Bay could be really, really good.
Yeah.
Number 12, the Chargers. Okay. A lot of people are like, what? The Chargers? I'm telling you, Jim Harbaugh comes in and he makes a difference right away. Jesse Minter is a really, really good DC. Everyone loves Mike McDonald. Guess who's like a Mike McDonald clone? Jesse Minter. Then you give him playmakers like Bosa. Okay, yeah, he's older. He's maybe been hurt a little. Bosa's still really good, guys. Khalil Mack, same thing. Still really good. Derwin James, really good player. And you're giving a creative DC the ability to use guys like that as playmakers on defense. They're going to be better. I'm not telling you they're going to be top 10. I'm telling you they're going to be 12th. But they're going to be a lot better than what they've been. I can almost guarantee it with that staff and those playmakers that are available to them. I really like what the Chargers' potential is on defense. Number 13, got New England. As bad as New England was last year, they were 14th in points per game, 21.5. They're going to be not very good on offense. All right, I think I had them dead last. But
off the charts.
I think defensively, if they stay healthy, like Christian Gonzalez,
he was nice until he got hurt.
Lockdown, great pick.
Yeah.
We knew it when they took him last year. We loved that guy, and then he was awesome before he got hurt. If he stays healthy, that's awesome. You know what I'm saying? And they've still got like Jabril Peppers. They've got all these different dudes who do a lot of things that I love. Christian Barrymore. Their defense is going to be better than people are giving them credit for just because they know that team is not going to be great because their offense will be spotty. Number 14, I've got Atlanta. You know, they needed the pass rusher really, really bad, so they stole from New England there. Guy's 32 years old, though, you know? So we'll see. Justin Simmons also on the back end of his career, but I do love the addition to go with the safety they had last year from Cincinnati who had a really good year. So now they've got two safeties that I think are really competent and dynamic. So you can do different stuff with that on the back end. I think, you know, their head coach, Raheem Morris, really impressed a lot of people with what he did with the Rams last year. They were a really, really young defense and they finished inside the top 20 in points per game, which not a lot of people expected. I think Raheem Morris has some more veterans on this team and can do more. Defensively. So I think they're going to be pretty good. 15, I've got Jacksonville. You know, I love the Jacksonville defense schematically, all the stuff they do for years on this podcast. We've been talking about those dudes and what they do. They don't have a ton of like big names, but they do a lot of stuff that's really good. And Trayvon Walker, guess what? Guy had 10 sacks last year.
That's solid.
Everyone was talking about Hutch because Hutch is phenomenal and he's fun to watch. But Trayvon Walker slowly, quietly kind of putting together season and putting together some production. He's going to be okay, all right? He may not be Aiden Hutchinson, but he's pretty good. He's still a guy that you can count on, I think, defensively. They've got Josh Allen, who changed his name. His last name is hyphenated now, and I can't remember what the other name is. it's not just Josh Allen. It's something else.
Dang,
but
my guy didn't like the pressure of being looked up as the quarterback.
Yeah, I think he was tired of being called the other Josh Allen, but he's a dude. So possible. He should not be the other Josh Allen. But he's really good too. I think they, you know, their corner just got paid. Underrated, you know, dude there. So
Josh
Allen Hines.
Yeah.
Hines Allen. Hines Allen. Yeah. That's what it is. So yeah, Jacksonville at 15. At 16, I've got Seattle. I think Mike McDonald's gonna make a big difference there.
I like that.
I love Devin Witherspoon.
Of course.
You know,
he had like two.
He and Christian Gonzalez
in the video.
He and Christian Gonzalez last year were like the two guys in that draft I just absolutely loved, and they both were as good as advertised. Yeah. Witherspoon will be fun in the Mike McDonald defense. They took Byron Murphy, the D tackle from Texas. That's perfect for what they're going to want to do. So I think the Seattle defense will be much improved. 16th, you know, right in the middle of the pack. At 17, I've got Washington. Once again, another team that I think, you know, hired a veteran DC to be their head coach. And that guy's going to do wonders. They signed some veterans in the offseason. Bobby Wagner, right?
I know he ended up there.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a Dan Quinn guy. Played for Dan Quinn in Seattle for a number of years. Understands what they're trying to do there.
That's who they had back then? I didn't know that either.
Yeah, Dan Quinn. During their Super Bowl years, Dan Quinn was the DC. That's who that was. Yeah, that's how Dan Quinn got the head job in Atlanta. Because of those Seattle Super Bowl years. The Legion of Boom was Dan Quinn, man. But yeah, and so they hired some guys that I like, or they signed some free agents that I like to go on that defense, and then with Dan Quinn, I think they're just gonna be a lot better, a lot better, sense. Competent. You know what I mean? At 18, I've got Chicago. I like some stuff Chicago does on defense, and I like the pass rusher, and I like the corners.
The dude they got last year, they brought him in.
Yeah. From Washington, by the way. So, I think Chicago has a chance to be, again, competent, really good. At 19, I've got Philadelphia. Vic Fangio, I think, will make a huge difference. Again, another team that has some talent, added a veteran DC who can take that talent and just make it much better. I think that's kind of the theme of this middle group here. Seattle through Philadelphia. All of these teams are teams that have the talent to be better than what they've been and can take a step up. At 20, I've got Detroit. They added.
That would be a little higher, low key.
Added Terrion Arnold, you know, and I like that. That filled a real big hole, real big need for them. I like Aiden Hutchinson.
Branch.
I think Deion Branch is really good.
Ryan.
Brian, yeah, not Deion. Deion played for the Patriots, played receiver too. Brian Branch is really good, but Detroit, for whatever reason, it seems like their defense kind of feast or famine.
Yeah, that is
always kind of has been in this Dan Quinn era, and I think that probably continues. Maybe they feast a little bit more this year. That's why I'm at 20 and not, you know, lower. I mean, last year they finished as the 25th best defense in points per game, 23.8. So I'm saying they improve, just not that much. At 21, I have the Rams. Little step back for them, considering they lose Aaron Donald, Raheem Morris, but I do love their front. All right, Kobe Turner, Byron Young. You know, they add Braden Fisk, and they add Jared Verse in the draft. I think people are underestimating how good that group of four will be. Can they replace Aaron Donald? Absolutely not. No one does. But that group of four
is kind of nice.
That group of four is better than the totality of any group they've had since they won the Super Bowl, is what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last few years they were relying on Aaron Donald and Aaron Donald alone, you know. And then last year you had Kobe Turner and Byron Young come in, and they were huge help with Aaron Donald to, you know. But now they got to do it without that guy. So we'll see. 22, I've got Vegas. Antonio Pierce, see what he does with that defense. Vegas was very good last year. I mean, they were number 7 in the NFL in points per game. I just expect that team to be not very good this year. And I think that's going to be really hard to maintain that level of defense. Yes.
They lost a lot.
At 23. And having Vegas at 22 is really a tip of the cap to Max Crosby because that guy's that good.
Yeah.
At 23, I've got Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay as a team in general is going to take a huge step back this year. I think last year was kind of a fun year. And I know they got a lot of veterans and a lot of guys who are still part of that Super Bowl team and Todd Bowles and all that. Just think it's going to be one of those years that they struggle and Todd Bowles may get fired. That's just kind of what I'm thinking.
That's tough.
And it's not necessarily a reflection of Todd Bowles. It's just kind of think that last year was, I don't want to call it a fluke.
But that was like a peak.
But I think that the ball bounced their way a lot and things happened the right way. And it was like the top season for a lot of guys on that team. Baker Mayfield played the best season of his career.
Yeah, he got a bad.
I just don't know if you're getting all of that again. And defensively, especially, they're aging.
They lost their old coordinator as a whole, too. It's like a lot of moving pieces.
At 24, I have Buffalo. I think Buffalo takes a huge step back on defense. They lost way too much. They lost like staples of their defense were those safeties, and they're both gone. They already lost the linebacker last year. Matt Milano may or may not already be hurt. There's just a lot going on there that I don't like. I think Buffalo takes a big, big step back on defense, and it's going to have to be Josh Allen wearing the cape a lot for that team. 25 of Tennessee. Tennessee's in that transition year. We'll see what they do. They're one of the teams that I don't know what to make of them. Maybe they're a lot better than I give them credit for, and they just end up being really good this year. Or maybe they're just going to be a middle-of-the-road team, like I kind of think, and they'll be tough to beat, but they won't be great. I mean, losing Vrabel to me is what makes this a huge step back for them on defense. 26, Cincinnati. Lou Anarumo is a good DC. Probably should have been a head coach by now. They've got Trey Hendrickson, and the pass rush is good, but they've got some guys disgruntled a little bit too.
I was going to say, I think that's the biggest issue there is a lot of dudes are basically like complaining, kind of asking for trades and want to get paid. Yeah, and it's like, that's a bad
disease
carousel,
me,
especially on, especially on defense. That's not the way you want that.
27, I've got Miami. They lose Vic Fangio. They hire a new DC that I think the guys will like playing for more. But they're another defense that's like really feast or famine. They've got some names. I mean, obviously Jalen Ramsey and all that. But their pass rushers are always hurt. I like Chop Robinson. I'm glad they added Chop Robinson. Think he's going to be awesome for them. But I think they're just going to be a team that's always in shootouts. The way they play offense and the way they play defense, that's just kind of who they are. So they're gonna end up giving up a lot of points. Even if their defense isn't that bad, I think they're gonna give up a ton of points. At 28, I have the Giants. 29, I have the Broncos. 30, Arizona. 31, Indianapolis. And 32, Carolina. These last five teams, I just think, are open doors, open season.
Yeah,
I know everyone wants the Giants defense to be better, and I do like the addition of Brian Burns. Losing Xavier McKinney was a bigger deal than people want it to be. I don't know. Not a huge believer in the Giants team. Sorry, Giants fans, but Arizona's young. They continue to get better, but they're not. It's just not. I mean, who do you want to put them over? You know, there's a lot of teams above them on this list. I'm just Indianapolis, similar deal. Carolina, they traded away Brian Burns, so they were already bad with him.
Yeah.
So that's how I finished up through 32. Any of those seem worth you, Joe?
I wanted to say Detroit, as I did earlier. Maybe even Philly. Like I'm not high on Philly in general, but like they got some good pieces. I think their DBs are getting hurt early though, which is a big issue. Where we might see our guy Cooper DeJean actually start this year. Anyone after that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe Buffalo. But like I move him to what, 20? Like I wouldn't move him too high. I don't know. But besides that, I think it's all pretty solid. I had a nice cluster. As we got to, like I said, like 7 or 8, kind of got to your like 15 dudes group, you know, top 15. But I'm just excited, bro. We're back. Football's back.
We are back, baby. Which means to finish out today's pod, we got to do preseason predictions. The games start Thursday. So we got to get our predictions in, baby.
Oh,
All right. So here we go.
Brief question.
First thing we're going to do, hit me.
Did you want to do, so last year I did it where I did, you picked the game winners and then I did the spreads. Did you want to do that this year? You don't
game
have
winners
to.
And what do you,
like on ESPN, they say like you could pick all the winners for each week and then you do another one where they got like the spreads and you bet who you think is going to be the spread. It's not betting. It's, you just pick them.
Seems like a lot of work.
Oh, then you ain't got to do it. I'll just do it.
Nah, actually, I want you to do it. And then I want to see how often you're right.
Well, I did pretty good in just picking winners last year, but the spread was like...
The spread's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, spreads
it was,
are
I
tough.
I think I was like 97 and 90. Whatever the totals game were, they were within like 10 to 20 wins. On picking winners, I was significantly better.
So let's do this way. Let's start on the NFC side.
Okay. I got you.
And we'll go 7-1. So, Jody, who's your 7 seed in the NFC, your last wild card in the NFC? And if you want to mention any of the teams that you felt like you were close to putting there, I think it's good to start with those teams. Like, people will know who's out and, you know, whatnot. But
all right, question.
Go ahead and go to 7.
Did you do, like, the – you pick every game and then it – builds it for you?
I did not, and I know I have done that before.
Yeah.
I did not have the requisite time this time around. Because that does take forever.
Yeah.
But I had that thought in my head. I didn't try and do anything to create certain matchups or anything like that. I did just go down the line like, okay, who do I think is here? Who do I think is here? Who do I think is here? I used my offensive and defensive rankings as a guide.
Okay.
To help me, like, okay, like, how can I justify this team over this team if I have their offense and defense higher rate? You know what I'm saying? So I went through it that way and kind of used the rankings as a guide. And obviously scheduling and all that matters. But, yeah.
All right. So I did do the little bracket builder thing. So to my surprise, at 8 and 9, we have the Cardinals at number 7.
Oh, wow.
It shocked me too. I thought it was going to be someone like, I don't know. Let me look at them, like the Commanders or something, or maybe even like the Bears, but we ended up with the Cardinals at 7.
Okay. I mean, they could take a big step up with Marvin Harrison Jr., healthy Kyler Murray. You're selling me.
Yeah. 8 and 9 though. I mean, they very, you know, subpar. But they made it.
Who was your first team out?
It looks like the Commanders.
Ah, okay.
8 and 9. Right. They did better in their division than the Cardinals did, but I guess somehow they lose a tiebreaker somewhere. I don't know.
Okay. My 7 seed. I went back and forth on a few teams here. I'll just tell you, teams that did not make my playoffs. Dallas.
Ooh.
Tough out. Philadelphia.
It's going to make me look bad.
Tough
out. I'm
not
surprised by that one.
I had originally put Philly in as my 7 seed because I like both the coordinators that they added.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get past how they ended last year.
I agree.
And I keep thinking about the marriage of Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And this
Jason
is starting
Kelsey
to
being gone. No more touch.
Jason
push.
Kelsey retires, but the Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni thing is starting to feel a lot like Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson. It's tenuous, tedious. Howie Roseman did not hesitate to hit the reset button last time, right? Mm. And I'm starting to think we might see something similar here, where Nick Sirianni's out. And maybe they even move on from Jalen Hurts, even though they just paid him.
Dang.
You know, trade depending on how the year goes. But they put a lot of stock in bringing in big-name coordinators, right? They brought in the two biggest names on offense and defense. Vic Fangio on defense is everyone's dream defensive coordinator hire because schematically he's just what everyone wants for modern football until Mike McDonald came around. But and then, you know, on offense, they bring in – oh my gosh, Can't think of names right now. He was the Chargers OC last year. Before that, he was in Dallas. Why am I not? I'm blanking on his name. Anyway, Boise State quarterback. Yeah, can't think of his name, but everyone knows who I'm talking about. They bring in both those guys, right? And Kellen Moore. That's his name. So they bring in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio to fix their O&D. And I like some of the stuff they did in the draft with the DBs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I just can't get past the relationship between the head coach and quarterback. And I think he's coaching for his job and he knows it. And I think that doesn't usually end well. So I just couldn't do it with Philly. With Dallas, if you think about it, almost exact same story that I just told you with Philly.
Yeah.
They had a better year last year, but it's all these guys who are trying to get paid. It's a head coach who knows he's probably coaching for his job, who Bill Belichick will probably replace after this season. Like, all of that is true. You know, I think they can move on from Dak and Mike McCarthy after this year. And, you know, they brought in Zimmer to fix things on defense. You know, not that Dan Quinn did a bad job, but I think people did not like the playoff performance, right, against Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I couldn't do it with Dallas either, you know. So I ultimately, I know this is a long build up to say, ultimately, I also, no, one last team I consider here was Seattle. Couldn't quite, mm-hmm. I think they're a year away. I think Mike McDonald needs 2 years to get them right.
Okay.
Ultimately, who I went with Chicago. I'm believing in Caleb Williams and that defense and the structure they have around him on offense. Think I'm ready to say that that team is going to be a playoff team. I think they go 9-8. I think it's a little bit of an up and down year, maybe even start slow, finish strong type of deal. But yeah, I have them going 9-8 and becoming the seventh seed in the NFC.
Yeah, no, I think for me, looks like I had them. Oh, I had them 6-10, but I mean, I don't. Maybe they're a year away. Caleb Williams is looking nice in the getting in the preseason. So that whole team went nutty. They dropped a hella points week in and week out. Definitely the start of something good.
Who's your sixth seed?
Oh, for the right here, I have the Packers.
Ooh.
Sixth seed at 14-3. We have the Packers.
Whoa. Okay. That's wild. So your seventh seed is 8-9 and your sixth seed is 14-3. I don't know if there's ever been a greater gap in win totals from 6 to 7.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They had a nice shootout for the division and the Lions snubbed them. So they took 6.
Okay. All right. At the sixth seed, I have San Francisco. I think they're still a very good team. They take a small step back. Some of the injuries, some of the transitioning parts, some of the guys holding out for money and all that stuff. I do think they're having 2 long seasons in a row. They're due for some injuries to some of their guys. And they usually get a little banged up during the year anyway. But they're still way too talented. Got way too well coached with Shanahan, all that, to not just to fall out completely. But I think I have them going 11-6, being the sixth seed in a tougher NFC than people expect. So San Francisco at 6 for me. Who's your 5?
Right here I have the Rams, also at a shocking 14-3. I mean, I think those two teams are definitely in the biggest contention for divisions within the NFC. So Rams, Packers, Lions, Niners, those are going to be the top teams for those two. So it's going to be whoever, you know, got the win against each other or whatever the tiebreaker is. That's going to be, I think those core four are definitely in the playoffs.
I think I'm giving away maybe some of my seating here, but I think the 4 best teams in the NFC are the Packers, the Rams, the Lions, and the 49ers. I think those are the 4 best teams. Yeah. So at 5, I have Detroit, another 11-6 team. And I think they just barely lose out on the NFC or the, you know, the NFC North to Green Bay. I have them, once again, 11-6 as the 5 seed, but a really dangerous 5 seed. So,
Yeah, I feel
Who are your NFC division winners? You can rattle them off 4-1, 1-4, however you want.
I'll just go 4-1, continue back to front. So at 4, I have the Cowboys taking the division 12-5 as a record. Mm-hmm. We got the Lions at 14-3 as well as the Packers. Same thing with the Niners, same thing there. I have them both losing one game in their division. I wonder if it was to each other at home. And then the Falcons ultimately takes the NFC at 14-3, just smoking their division out the water, 6-0.
Nice. Okay. So for me, I've got, once again, I'll go back to front like you did.
Mm-hmm.
At 4, I've got Washington, most surprising team in my playoffs, more than likely. Once again, I just didn't believe in Philly and Dallas, and I like what Washington's doing with the young quarterback, Dan Quinn, defense structure, veterans with youth, all of it. Adam Peters as the GM knew what he was doing and building a team coming from San Francisco. I think it will remind a lot of people of the rookie RG3 season. I think Jane Daniels is going to come on the scene and be awesome. I think I have them winning the division at 10-7. So not like they run away with it, but they're there. And then at 3, I have Atlanta, one of the easiest schedules in the NFL, in one of the easiest divisions. They just smoke everyone. I think a lot like what you said, have them as an 11-6 team. And then at 2-1, I have the Rams at 2, the Packers at 1, both going 12-5. I think offensive juggernauts who are good enough on defense. I like the Packers defense more than the Rams, which is why I have them finishing as the 1 seed. Yeah. Actually, I think I even had the Packers at 13-4 overall. And then the Rams at 12-5. So those, you know, 1-7, Green Bay 13-4, Rams 12-5, Atlanta 11-6, Washington 10-7, Detroit 11-6, San Francisco 11-6, and then Chicago 9-8 are my 1-7 in the NFC. All right. So how did you have your NFC playoff bracket looking?
So it goes, looks like we have it shaping out to be, we got Rams versus the Cowboys, 4-5. We got Lions versus the Packers, 3-6.
Ooh,
Niners versus the Cardinals, 2-7.
Ooh.
And then you want me to go through the whole thing?
Yeah.
All right. So we got Rams winning, Packers winning, Niners winning. That leads to Rams and Niners in the Bay. And then Packers versus Falcons. I got Niners and Packers winning. Yeah.
Ooh.
And then, so it comes back to the Bay. We got Packers, Niners, and I'm going to just give it to the Niners again. They could cry in the Super Bowl.
Ooh. He says they're going to the Super Bowl, maybe already projecting that they lose there. Okay. My wild card weekend. I've got the Rams hosting the Bears. Matthew Stafford tells Caleb Williams, I'm sorry, son, it's not your time. Mm-hmm. I've got the 49ers hosting the Falcons.
Too early.
I've got the Falcons hosting the 49ers, and the 49ers experience and veteran leadership shows up. They beat the Falcons on their home turf. Then I've got the Lions going to Washington, and same thing. I think the veteran and playoff experience they had last year shows up. They're able to beat Washington on the road. So I have two NFC teams winning on the road, wild card weekend. I told you the Rams, the 49ers, the Lions, or the Packers are the four best teams in the NFC. Should come as no surprise that those are my four teams left standing in the divisional round. Mm-hmm. Packers hosting the 49ers. I think that's huge that they get them on home turf. I think the Packers win at home in the frozen tundra, with the Niners having to go there.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the Rams get to host the Lions this year. That's how we start Sunday night football this year, Rams-Lions. This time, the Rams are going to get to host in the playoffs. Last time they had to go on the road to Detroit in the wild card weekend last year. Very, very close, but I think the home field made that small difference. I think we see that again, and this time the Rams prevail. Matthew Stafford gets his revenge, which leads us to a Packers-Rams NFC Championship game. This is a divisional round matchup we saw a few years ago where the Rams had to go into Green Bay, and I just think that's a tough place to play in January, and that gives the Packers a huge edge. And I've got the Packers coming out of the NFC as the Super Bowl representative in a tight game on championship weekend with Matthew Stafford and the Rams. So
yeah,
NFC side, I have the Packers coming out. You have the 49ers coming out. Let's flip it over to the AFC. Who is your seven seed in the AFC?
So at a record of 11-6, we have the Dolphins at seven seed. Well, all division, excuse me, this conference, the AFC North, right? That's the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have them being very dominant, and we get three out of there.
Ooh. I like it. My seven seed in the AFC, I've got Pittsburgh. And I think basically what it comes down to is they ride the backs of their defense. I think by the end of the season, you're going to see Justin Fields be the starting quarterback. And I think they're just going to run the football down people's faces with Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and Justin Fields. And defensively, they're just going to be a juggernaut. And that's how they're going to ride. They're going to ride that to the playoffs. And it's going to be like last year and all the Tomlin years where they're kind of mediocre. And you're sitting there saying, man, if they had a better quarterback, they would be really good. They've got a lot of talent at the skill positions on offense, at O-line. But ultimately, as long as their O-line can be healthy, I know they've got some injuries they're dealing with right now. I think they're a playoff team with that defense and that O-line and that running game. And I think they ride that to a 10-7 record. Classic Tomlin. And they get to the playoffs as the seventh seed.
Hey, I will briefly mention the first teams out were the Bills and the Raiders, both at 10-7. First one.
My first couple teams out, I had the Bengals missing out, the Browns, and the Dolphins. I think all three of those teams are very close, but ultimately not complete enough that I could get them in. And there's some other stuff going on that the other teams that make some jumps to me that get in that I just couldn't. Those teams were left out for me.
Yeah, I want to see what you have to say about my teams going forward. So at six, I have the Browns at 11-6.
I can't get there with the Browns. I think Deshaun Watson sucks.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know.
I can't do it. And Nick Chubb, I don't think Nick Chubb, like, you just come back from that and he's going to be okay. I love their defense, but I think offensively, they've got Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy at receiver.
Yeah,
and I think both those dudes are going to be big complainers when they don't get the ball because Deshaun Watson's not good.
Makes sense.
I think their offense is gonna be really, really bad this year. Honestly, I really do.
What if Deshaun Watson gets hurt? Bring in our guy, Josh Dobbs.
Jameis. Oh, that makes it even more fun.
Or Jameis. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Jameis.
I heard they were trying to trade him.
Again, that offense to me is full of a bunch of personalities that I don't trust at all. So I can't get there with the Browns. My sixth seed, I have the Chargers.
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh wins everywhere he goes, guys. And Justin Herbert's good. I don't care if they don't have receivers. I like Ladd McConkey. I like Jordan Palmer or
Josh Palmer.
Josh Palmer. Thank you. I don't like Quentin Johnson, but he'll be out there, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
I don't mind Gus Edwards and
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins in the backfield as long as they stay healthy. Their offensive line is better. I already told you that I think their defense is going to be pretty good. So at the end of the day, I like this team to be in the playoffs under Jim Harbaugh. I like him to go 10-7 as well and to be good enough to be the sixth seed in the AFC with a tiebreaker over Pittsburgh somehow. I don't know how it works, but they got the tiebreaker.
All right, at my five seed, we have the Bengals sitting at a whopping 14-3. That one's going to break my heart no matter what. I don't know why I had them winning that game.
What is wrong with you? How? How do you have these wildcard teams that are 14-3? Well, how many 0-17 teams did you predict? It's like it's going to be a record-breaking year. We have 5-0-17 teams.
Okay, hold on.
Kyler Murray.
Okay. All right. at 0-16. 0-17.
You can't even say it. It's very unprofessional of you, Jody.
0-17. We have the Patriots. We also have the Vikings.
Bruh.
The Panthers. And 1-16, we have the Steelers.
Oh my gosh. Just disrespectful at this point. That's unbelievable. He has three 0-17 teams and a 1-16 team that I had in the playoffs. Unbelievable. Wow. Hey, my uncle's gonna come get you, bro. 1-16, okay. That's disrespectful to him.
So, hey, they won something.
Dragging his name in the mud.
We gotta move on from Mike Tomlin. It's time's overdue.
Okay. All right. I'm just gonna let that one go. I'm gonna go to my 5 seed. I've got Buffalo. I told you all of the stuff. Their defense is gonna take a step back, their offense is gonna take a step back. Don't trust some of their skill guys. Don't trust their defense. And yet I still have him in the playoffs as a 5 seed. Basically, what I'm saying is Josh Allen's a top 5 quarterback, and he's going to play like it. And that's, if you've got one of those guys, it's usually good enough to get you in, even if you're not that good. So I have Buffalo going 11-6 and getting to the playoffs as the 5 seed, very similar to what they did last year. So those are my 3 wild cards. Jody, who are your 4 division winners in the AFC?
All right, so at the 4th seed, we have, shocker, Patty Mahomes taking 12-5 for his division. We have the Texans at 13-4. We have Aaron Rodgers, 13-4 at the 2nd seed, and the Ravens, number 1, 14-3.
Like it. My 4 division winners are not different. They are ordered a little differently, but I have the Jets as the 4 seed. I think they go 11-6 as well and beat Buffalo on tiebreakers. That division's really hard to pick. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As the 3 seed, I have Houston going 12-5, having a fantastic year with CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans in year 2.
Mm-hmm.
At the 2 seed, I have Kansas City also going 12-5, winning on a tiebreaker there with Houston in terms of the ranking or the positioning.
Seeding. Yeah.
And then at the 1 seed, I have Baltimore going 13-4, much like Green Bay, thinking that they're pretty dominant this year on both sides of the ball with their run game and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and then their defense being still really good despite losing the DC.
Yep.
All right. So my 1-7, Baltimore, KC, Houston, New York, Buffalo, LA, Pittsburgh. All right. Let's go to the playoffs. Jody, take us through your AFC playoff bracket.
All right, so we have the Chiefs hosting the Bengals. We have the Texans hosting the Browns and the Jets hosting the Dolphins. So we have all the home teams winning. So Chiefs, was that Texans and the Jets? I'll take a dub here. No wild card. No upsets. Get a dub. Nope.
Yeah.
That leads to Jets hosting the Texans. And the Ravens hosting the Chiefs. Same thing. Home team's taking the dub. We got Jets, Ravens.
Ooh. The Ravens get revenge on the Chiefs this year, huh? Because they get them at home?
Yes, sir.
Well, they were at home last year, too. But, yeah, I got you.
And in the championship, we have the Ravens hosting the Jets. And right here, we have our guy, Rodgers! Discount double check with the upset late in the career.
I knew you were going to take the Jets to go to the Super Bowl. I knew you were taking the Jets to go to the Super Bowl. I knew that was happening. You didn't even have to tell me, and I knew it. Okay, so you've got a Jets 49ers Super Bowl. Hold that thought. All right. Back on the other side, I've got wild card weekend. Chiefs hosting the Steelers. Easy dub. All right, Steelers run game doesn't work. They get smoked a lot. Like, we saw this matchup a few years ago in the wild card round, and it was the Chiefs pretty handily. I think it was like Roethlisberger's last year, maybe. Chiefs won. I think it looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers pull the upset, beat the Texans in wild card weekend. Jim Harbaugh's experience shows up. Justin Herbert, godlike performance in the playoffs.
The Ohio State man.
Yeah, yeah. Harbaugh has CJ Stroud's number.
Exactly. All right.
Chargers beat the Texans. The Jets vanquish some demons, beat the Bills in the playoffs. Rodgers gets the discount double check on Josh Allen. Dub. Divisional round. I've got the Ravens hosting the Chargers. The Ravens get that win. Harbaugh can only take that talent so far.
Got him
but yeah, loses to the brother again. It's tough, tough for Jim. Didn't like doing it to him, but I think that John has a more talented team. And then I've got the Jets, Rodgers versus Mahomes in a playoff game. Would that not be the most hyped up thing ever? Jets get home field advantage, though, or the Jets on the road with that defense get the dub in KC, in Arrowhead. So then I have, like you, a Ravens-Jets AFC championship. Took a different path to get there, but same teams. Ravens hosting the Jets. And unlike you, I've got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens prevailing. They get to the Super Bowl. Very funny. We kind of came to some similar outcomes. Mm. I end up with Ravens Packers. You end up with 49ers Jets.
Yep.
There was a moment where I thought to myself, wait a minute. Am I going to go Packers Jets and let Rodgers play the Packers in the Super Bowl? Wow, that would be amazing.
That'd be a storyline for sure.
But I couldn't quite do it. I went Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to finally, they're going to finally get there, right? With Lamar. I think they're going to do it. So your Super Bowl, Niners, Jets, who are you picking?
I kind of showed my hand a little bit too much earlier. You called it. I said they're going to cry about it in the Super Bowl. And so I'm taking Rodgers to get another one in the AFC this time, though.
Does Rodgers, when they win it, does he, instead of saying, I'm going to Disneyland, does he say, I'm going to the hut to do more ayahuasca?
That's the answer I was about to say. Yep. He's going to the woods.
And then he just retires on the spot, just like never comes back. That's it. He did it.
No, he goes to the hut and never returns. He just
then we just never hear from him again. Yep. He's over.
And then he's running for office at some point.
Okay. All right. That's Rodgers. Just shows up 4 years later running for presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I buy it. Honestly, I buy it. What party is he running for?
Oh, he's independent.
Got to be independent. You can't put him in a box, right? So yeah, exactly. Got to be independent. Okay. Ravens, Packers in my Super Bowl. Jordan Love, Lamar Jackson. Ultimately, I like the Ravens defense a little bit more, and I go with the Ravens to get it done. Lamar is not only an MVP winner now, he's a Super Bowl winner, cements himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I've got the Ravens winning the whole thing.
That's fun, man. That was fun.
Pretty sweet. So I've got Ravens. You've got Jets. We'll see what happens with this season. To close us out, we need a banger of the week, Jody.
Yes, sir. So this one, it's going to be a little home base, you know, but there's a taco truck that comes near the house every Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. And they have a list of rotating tacos, but the one that we've seen the two times we've gone is this chopped cheese taco, bro. And when I tell you it's fire, it's fire. And like the other stuff on the menu is good too, don't get me wrong. But this last time I went, Johnny was like, bro, it's so good, I'm getting five of them things, just the one. And I was like, you know, I liked it the first time, but I don't know how good it truly was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got in because I just got the, you try them all. You get one of each taco. And this time I took that bite and I was like, oh, the guy that was chefing this one up today went nutty because this is so good. It was just like melting in your mouth. You got the meat with the cheese on there. I think they do lettuce and like some peppers, like what kind of peppers are those, like the red peppers, green pepper, those.
Okay.
So good, bro. It's just instead of you having the bun, you get it in a taco form, and it's just so good. So that food truck, I seen them yesterday on my way home, I think. And I was like, do I stop and just order some of these tacos real quick and then dip out? But Yeah, no, the chopped cheese taco is fire.
Chopped cheese.
So that's my banger of the week.
Love that. Love it. Love it. All right, bro. I mean, football season's here.
Yeah.
Is there any happier time of the year?
Nope.
I mean,
can't say there is.
Oh. Electric. It's my favorite time.
Yeah.
It's when I feel like I'm my most best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the best. My life is the happiest. This is the moment. Here it is. We're in it right now.
So are you a fall guy? Is that your season of choice?
Well, if you're asking me what my favorite season is, it's actually summer.
Mm.
But my favorite time of the year, like in terms of when I'm just having the most fun, is definitely the fall. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My least favorite time is probably late winter, the dead of winter. Don't like that. Not a fan.
That's where I thrive. I like being cold. I like the brisk air.
I do like hoodie season though. But, so fall. That's why fall's good, because it's hoodie season.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a nice transition.
We're coming up. We're in September now, so yeah. It's coming up. End of September, early October, hoodie season, baby.
Mm.
Yeah.
Time changes though, and then it gets dark. It's like, oh.
Yeah. That's tough. True. That's true. That is true. All right, bro.
Well,
all of the people, enjoy Thursday.
Yeah,
enjoy Sunday. We will see you Sunday night.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah,
we'll see you Sunday night after most of the games. Probably not all the games, but most of the games.
Mm.
And we'll get on our regular routine. We'll give out some awards.
Yeah,
review week one, winners and losers, and we'll keep it rolling all season long, baby. All right.
To close us out, we got our guy, Ray Ray, taking us out. Been going on for way too long. System in place is way too wrong. Tell me how you feel if a cop came around, put your son to the ground and he choke him till he can't breathe. Or better yet, break into your house and he shoot you on your couch cause he scared and he couldn't see. Or going on a jog outside and he put that AR to your chest and he fired. Matter of fact, tell me how you feel if your son wore a hoodie when outside got killed. This the main thing I want you to hear. The reason they be killing all my people cause of fear. Cops see a black man shoot him. White man kill 100 people, they subdue them. Freedom. I'ma raise my hand, my fists in the air, I stand my ground like freedom. You can't kill my soul, my brother on the floor, can't breathe, let him go like freedom. My brother and sister fighting to be alive, every day we scream out freedom. Around a cow, one knee, mean two different things, we just wanna be free. You have the right to remain silent, anything you say, it don't matter cause you black. You already guilty as a matter of fact. Trigger gladly, black man down, look, your honor, I saw it, I saw him reaching for his 9mm wallet, 38 caliber inhaler in the back seat, so I called for backup when we ran it like a track meet, had a couple unpaid tickets in the past, so I pulled up on him and I had to shoot his ass, I don't need taser, Glock what I draw, unless you got a badge, then you're not above the law, system in my favor, black boy, you the opposite, I'll drive you to the station and think about what to charge you with, speaking to the culture, the community in peril, got us all thinking like crabs in a barrel, war going on, but we fighting on each other. We cannot afford to be killing all our brothers. We gon' need every single soldier in this battle. About to go left, let me tell you why I have to. Really, it's a trip, this is what I gotta do. So I'ma say it one time and I'm saying it for you. This is for the people looking at me so confused. Wonder why I say and I act the way I do. Why he saying we? Why he talking like he black? Why he talking like he know the struggle, this and that? I swear I hear it all, so I'm finally addressing. I'm white and I'm black, this is my confession. Hate I gotta waste time answering that question. Fists in the air, represent God's blessing. Freedom! Yeah. Freedom! We just wanna be free. Freedom! We just wanna be free.